Amen. Amen. Isn't that true? Isn't that wonderful? We can sing that song from our hearts, knowing what it means to really, the meaning behind those words. It's just amazing that we can love Him with all our hearts, friend. Because He loves us more than we could ever love Him. Isn't that amazing? Appreciate everyone can come out this morning. Just keep Brother and Sister Browning in prayer as they're in service today and traveling when they're coming back and all. And just Brother Wayne and Sister Cindy had to go to a funeral. So his sister died, so keep that in prayer. Just bring comfort to him. It's just good to be here, friend. I'm just going to take a second and just enjoy the atmosphere, if that's okay. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful, Father. We can't express it, Lord, with words, Father, but sometimes the spirit within us groans, just trying to express the desire, the love, the faith, whatever it is, Father, that's crying out from within us, Lord, to be closer to you, Father. And we know that desire can only come from you, Father, because you feel the same towards us. And so many things tend to get in our way. So many things tend to take our attention, to take our focus off on something else. And Lord, there's things we have to do in this life, and we want to enjoy this life, and you want us to. But Father, that you could always be the main theme of all that we do, the focus of everything. And we would never do anything where we couldn't take you with us. Well, you wouldn't feel welcome to be in on our conversations or be in what we're doing on the phones and all the other things that we have to do. That if you wouldn't be welcome, Father, then help us, Lord, never to steer away from that. We just know it's Satan trying to interfere with the thing you want most, which is our fellowship, Father. We have a right to that fellowship, Lord. We have a right to your presence. We can come boldly to it because you paid the way, you made it, and you chose us, you called us to come to that. So help us, Lord, never to let anything interfere. And this morning, as this word goes, Lord, would you just reveal it to each one here, Father? Reveal it. Show them. Don't let it be just something we believe in our heads and something, a doctrine we believe or disbelieve, Father, but if it would just sink down, Lord, as you could speak and let each person know that you spoke to them as an individual. Because beyond that, we're just another denomination, Lord. We're just someone else going to church. But if you will just come, Lord, oh, we long for that, Father. Speak to us now, I pray. Amen. I'm going to read out of John 15, the first verse, and we'll be seated. I'm going to read a lot of scripture. I'm going to go through this fast today, so I want to get done, but just let the Holy Spirit have his way. So when I get talking too fast, I can't understand myself. So I need to calm down, but I get excited up here. So John 15 and 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. You may have your seat this morning. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. So what are we going to speak on this morning, Lord willing, is the two vines. The two vines. We find out it's a theme that runs throughout the gospel. This isn't something Brother Branham made up. This isn't something that just came from the Old Testament or New Testament. It's all the way through. But we're going to look at this from different angles here. And what I want to do, the Lord willing, is my prayer is that when you walk out of here this morning, if there's any doubt, if there's any fear, if there's any question about who you are in God's economy, that you walk out of here with that thing put under your foot once and for all, and Satan can never bring you to that place where you question, are you really? Now, he's going to try. I'm not saying that. He's going to come against you and try to get you to doubt and fear and everything. But when you stand on what God shows you, not by a doctrine, but God speaks to you and tells you, this is who you are. And how does he do that? He takes you to the Word and shows you in the Word and shows your characteristics. And if he would do that this morning, you can walk out of here with a victory that will never, you never fall to that, well, I wonder if I really am. I don't know if I am. That you can't have that, friends. You can't go in the rapture with that kind of doubt. You have to know who you are. And so by the grace of God, maybe he can come. I'm going to ask him to come. And if there's any doubt in your heart, I'm not talking about the junk goes on in your mind. That's going to be there till the day you get a body change. But when you can go past that, all that Satan's saying up here, and you go down and there's an anchor, and you say, yes, yeah, Satan, you can say what you want, but God told me. You got to have that, friends. That's the only way we're going to be raptured.
So let's read here. I am the true vine. So if there's a, he designates there's a true vine, then there must be a false vine. Otherwise, he would just say, I am the vine. No, he said, I am the true vine, my Father, the husbandman, right? Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. That means cleans it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So he's saying now, I'm the true vine, but now there's also two different kind of branches within the vine. And one kind of branch, it's in there, it's living off the life, but it's not bringing forth the right kind of fruit. The other, the true vine, the true branch is bringing forth the right, that's the cutest baby, the right, oh my. The right kind of fruit, right? And so that's that you have two branches in the true vine, all right? So all of the false branches aren't just out there in the false vine. Some of them are like leeches. They're living off the life of the true vine. That's why it's deceptive. Ain't that amazing? Let's go down to verse 6. If a man, now remember, he's talking about branches. He's talking about men. These are people, right? If a man abide not in me, that means he doesn't remain in my life, in the vine, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So if we do not stay within, with the right kind of branch within the vine, living off the life of the vine, then we are going to walk away. We're going to leave. We're going to not abide in that. We're going to be cast off, and we're going to wither. What is it? The life goes out of us, and we can be a good message believer. We can have a good life, but that the life itself that produces the fruit is gone, and you're going to have some withered something, and you're going to be burned. Verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. So there's the other branch, the ones that abide in him and the ones that don't abide. And why do people not abide? Because they don't like it sometimes. They don't like what it takes to be part of the vine. Verse 16, the same chapter, says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. So right away he says, if you are chosen, you didn't choose me, but if I chose you, you're one of the correct branches, your elect branch, you are ordained to bring forth fruit. You can't help it because it's the nature within the vine. If that's a grapevine, it's going to bring forth grapes. If you have a grapevine and you're bringing forth olives or oranges or something else, you got some kind of a grafted affair there, and it's the wrong kind of branch in that vine. But it'll bring forth, if it can, like Brother Branham used, you know, grafting the citrus branches into the orange tree, but they're bringing forth lemon and grapefruit and all that because it came from the wrong tree to begin with, the wrong life to begin with. Its origin was the wrong place, all right? The wrong vine. I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, not going to wither. So many times we get so discouraged because we're out there, we're trying to be a good Christian, and we're trying to produce the fruits of the Spirit and love and joy and peace, but because we're doing it from our own ability, they wither because we're not taking it from the life of the vine, the life that brings forth that the way it's supposed to. It's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of your ability. It's not the fruit of your religion. It's not the fruit of your holiness or whatever, you know, you're trying so hard. That will wither. You know it will because you've done it. And I've done it how many times, and I'm doing so good. And then all of a sudden things just kind of calm down and I start withering and get drying up. Why? Because I'm not staying in the life. Why? Because it wasn't put in here to begin with. It was just in that my vessel. I'm just in the lamp. It was just the fire burning because I go to church, I get anointed, and I can express it. But if that light, life isn't in here, it's going to wither and go out. That's why the foolish virgins, they look around and say, hey, our lamps have gone out. Why? Because that life wasn't in there to begin with. But if it's in there, your fruit will remain. It will remain. It can't help it because it's got coming from eternal life. Whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he shall give it to you. But it's only for the elect branches. Matthew 7:15. Let's look at another. Jesus, in the whole Bible, but Jesus, we're going to look at what he said. He uses so many different examples of these two, the two groups, the false and the true, the elect and the non-elect, the true and the false vine. He said, verse 15, it says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, inwardly they are ravening wolves. So now he has sheep and wolves. There's a difference, right? Just let me nail it down here. A sheep was not, they were not just born into the world and then decided, let me see, do I want to be a sheep or do I want to be a wolf? Let me see. Do I want to be a sheep? No, you came from the womb a sheep, or you came from the womb a wolf. All right? You are ordained for it. That's the way it is. He said, "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth fruit, bring forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." So now he's likening it to good and bad trees. There's still the two. You got the two balancing each other. And one brings forth good fruit, one brings forth evil fruit. Verse 18, "A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." What is this fruit? What's he talking about? Because you can express love and joy and peace and that, and you say, "Well, I got it. There's the fruit." But that's not exactly what it is. You must have that, but that alone is not your evidence, all right? Because you can manufacture that, and people manufacture that all the time. But what is the fruit that the good fruit is talking about? It's when Christ in you expresses Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same today. That's the good fruit. It's the word for your day expressing itself through you. Besides that, all you can do is express religion. You can be a good person. You can live a holy life. You can love people. You can go to church. You can preach. You can do all these other things. And it's corrupt fruit if it's not the word for this day being expressed. You say, "Well, what is that?" That's between you and God. What does he want you to express? It's not a group doing it. It's not, "Well, our church does this. Our church believes that." No, it's you as an individual expressing what God has ordained for you, the individual, to express. I wish that would get into people's heart. Lord, help us. So then you are known by the fruits. You are known. Your characteristics, you can identify yourself right now. Look at the characteristics in your life. What kind of fruit is being expressed? What kind of fruit? What kind of word is being expressed? Is it because you're a good person going to a good church? Or is it there's something inside you that is making a difference? It's something, it's a different nature that you know that nature has changed because you know who you used to be. And you know that you're not that same person anymore. And you can see it. And sometimes it gets clouded over and sometimes it's hard to see, but sometimes you see flashes of it, and sometimes it comes so strong, and you know that this is Christ in you, the hope of glory, because it's something you cannot produce yourself. And I'm not talking about just anointing. Well, when I get under that anointing, I can do all kinds of things. I'm talking about when you're at home, when you're driving down the road, when you're by yourself, there's something different about your nature, and it's something that longs for God more than anything else. There's two types of tree. Let's go. Let's keep looking at this. Matthew 13:24. "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." Now you have two different kinds of seeds. You got those, the wheat, and you got the tares or the weeds, right? Again, you got the two. "But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? He said, Nay, lest while you gathered up the tares, you root up the wheat also up also the wheat with them. So first of all, you know, I mentioned this a couple of times recently. There are people around the message been for a long time that they believe Brother Branham was wrong when he said that you come to earth with the seed already in you. They believe that the preaching of the word plants that seed into you. I think that's what they believe, right? Well, first of all, you're not a message believer if you don't what the prophet you don't believe what the prophet said. So they need to quit calling themselves that. But this is not talking about seed as far as the word being preached. These are people. These seeds, the wheat and tares are people because it says, while you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat also. So you cannot gather up this word I'm preaching and throw it into the bundle and be burned. That's coming to that, right? Because it's the people themselves. And so when you say, it's not in the Bible, it's right there in the Bible. You're born with that. You're either born a wheat or you're born a tare. It's right there. The Bible says it's right there. And so I don't know where they go with this, but it's not the word that's being preached, what he's talking about here. Listen to what he says. He says, no, he said, unless while you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat also. Let them grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So you're not, what I'm preaching, the word that's going forth, you don't bind this in bundles and go burn it. It's got to be the person he's talking about. That makes sense, right? And so there's two, they come from two different seeds. And the wheat cannot be weed, the weed cannot be wheat. You are what you are. Two type of seeds, different kind of people. Let's keep going here. Matthew 13, verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Isn't that amazing? He said, there are some people it's given to, and some people it's not. I wish I could take time and go into what Paul said. You know, people say, well, if that's the case, if that's the way it is, then how can God find fault then? And Paul says, who are you to resist? Well, who are you to talk back to God? He's the potter, you're the clay. He can make the people the way he wants to. This is his choice. What kind of an arrogant attitude is saying, well, God's not fair? You know who said that? Cain. That's Cain's attitude. We need to humble ourselves and recognize that if you are identified by the word as being one of the wheat seeds, being one of the true trees, then it's the grace of God. Because you know why people don't want to accept that? Because they want to take credit to themselves. Because if I can take credit to myself, I can look at someone else and look down on them and push them down. I could say, look at Brother Paul. He don't believe the way I do. I'm better than he is. He just needs to believe the way I believe. Well, if he don't have the seed to believe, he can't. I'm not picking on Brother Paul. I'm not saying that about him. I'm just using an example. See how God runs his own show? This is his program. He can do what he wants. It's his kids. He said, it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Isn't that amazing? Look what Jesus is saying. People say, well, that's not the way my theology works. That's not the way I think it should be. He said, if you are original seed, what you have is going to grow and you're going to have abundant fruit and you're ordained to it. You're going to produce, it's going to remain. But if you're not, even that what you have is going to be taken away and it's going to wither and you're going to be bound and put in the bundles to be burned. It's what you are. It's what you come to this earth as. And like I said a couple times ago when I preached, you know, you still have a choice. This don't take away your choice, because if you are not original seed, you can still choose to be saved, but you still have to come God's provided way for it. You can't come on your own merits. You got to come God's way. He said, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Verse 13, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Oh, that's just brutal, friends. It's just like, look how hardcore this is. Look at the thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of people who heard Brother Branham speak, saw his miracles that he performed, see all this, the mighty ministry he had, and they, what did? They saw it, and they walked away because it didn't agree with their denominational thought, their theology, the way they thought it should be. It didn't agree with them. Why? Because it wasn't given to them. It was ungiven to them. And so even there, they could see with their eyes, they could see the move of God, and they could hear with their ears, and they could hear the preaching of the word, and they could see the acts of faith going on, and yet they could not see with their eyes and hear. They could not hear with the soul, because it wasn't in here to hear with. It wasn't in here to see with. That's why Jesus said it over and over, blessed are you have eyes, blessed are you have ears, because you are, it's ordained that you can see the Christ today in flesh living among you. The other people can't see it. You can look at the same person, the same ministry, and one person says, that's Jesus Christ, and one person says, I'm just as good as he is. Well, he's got a better ministry than now, so now I'm going to be jealous of his ministry. That's the way it is, friends. This is the reality. Now, where do you fall? Look at yourself. Identify yourself. What kind of seed are you? Be honest with yourself. And in them, verse 14, and them in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. It's just the grace of God, friends. How can we look down on people who don't see it? Because verse 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, so their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with the heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. He's saying he does this on purpose. It's done this way so that they will not be healed. They will not receive the revelation. They will not see the light of their day. I think I said this before, whenever it was, but the reason God could not give that the same revelation he gave to Abel, he could not give it to Cain, because they're from two different trees. You cannot take the tree of life and reveal it to a seed from the tree, the hybrid seed, because you're hybriding the word, and God's not going to hybrid his word. He could not give Cain that same revelation because you're mixing the seed. That explains everything, friends. That explains why he does this to these people. He said, no, I'm gonna, he even said it blind, you know, the Bible says he blinded the eyes of Israel for our sake. He had to blind their eyes. Why? So that they would not see the truth and they would receive the original life in that false seed. Can't be. Is that confusing? Some of you looking at me like I'm speaking gibberish. Oh, well, maybe I am. He said, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things that ye see, have not seen them, and hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Friends, that's why Brother Branham said, he said, everyone, the prophets, everyone wanted to live in this age, because right now there's more light available to you than any time. Right now you can express Christ more than any other age, as far as just as normal, regular people, without these great prophetic gifts. You and I can do that, friend. In fact, we will. If we go in the rapture, we will. This is what we're here for. All right, let me read something. This is out of the Church Age Book, A Resume of the Ages. He says, from our studies, we have already learned that much of the revelation, talking about the book of Revelation, is totally misunderstood, because we have not formally known that the church spoken of and spoken to in this book does not refer to the pure ecclesia, the elect, the body of Christ, the bride, but it speaks to the entire body of people, calls them Christians, whether they be true or merely nominal. Aren't you glad the prophet came along and made this straight? Because all the way down through the church ages, people thought he was talking to the whole, just the pure, you know, the born-again believers, and we find out he wasn't. You look at much of what's written in Revelations, and it wasn't to just the bride. When he says in the Laodicean church, he said you're wretched and poor and miserable, blind and don't know it. He's not talking to the bride. That you cannot be wretched and poor and miserable, blind, and be the pure, spotless, sinless bride of Jesus Christ at the same time. And so you have to be able to differentiate between the two. And how do you do it? By the Spirit, by the characteristics. And if you're sitting here thinking you're increased with goods that have need of nothing, you're fulfilling the wrong seed right there, the wrong vine. He says, as all Israel is not Israel, so all Christians are not Christians. Just because there's some millions of Christians around the world, they're not all born again. They're not all elect. There's something else. Just really quick. Elect and predestinated doesn't mean the same thing. Elect is those that he's chosen to be his bride. Predestinated goes for everybody. Pharaoh was predestinated. He said, for this reason I brought you up. Judas was predestinated to fill that role. He said, I know who I've chosen, but to fulfill the scripture, he had to choose a Judas. So just, he said, well, are you predestinated? Yeah, we're all predestinated. I have a personal story. I know this woman, she had a personal interview with Brother Branham. And she went in, she said, and I hope I get this right. It's close if I'm a little wrong, you know, as far as everything I said. And she was wondering, am I born again? And he said, sister, everyone is predestinated. Everyone is predestinated. That's what he told her. She walked out. Several years later, she left the message and she was gone, you know, whatever. But he didn't say she was elect.
He said she was predestinated.
He said, thus we learn that the church is made up of two vines, the true and the false. The two vines are motivated by two kinds of spirit. One has the Holy Spirit, while the other is endued with the spirit of Antichrist. He said, now that word Antichrist, oh, it's the Antichrist. It's a big old devil with horns. No, you know better than that. Don't go to that. That Antichrist spirit has stood in more message pulpits and preached than the Holy Spirit has. Boy, I don't know where that came from. Yes, I do. This message is riddled with Antichrist preachers. It's not producing the word for this day. It's producing wonderful services, but it's not producing Christ in flesh. It's just producing really good message believers. Boy. Oh, my. Endued with the spirit of Antichrist, both claim to know and be known of God. Both purport to speak for God. Both believe certain very basic truths and differ on others. But since both bear the name of the Lord, being called Christians, and by such name-bearing obviously claim a relationship to him, God calls it marriage, God now holds them both responsible to him and therefore speaks to each. He said, if you call yourself a Christian, he's going to hold you responsible for being a Christian. And what that means, you say, well, if I'm not elect, I'm not, don't, look, friends, if he called you to be a quarter and you're a Christian quarter, you be the best quarter you can be. That's all he can require of you. If you're a silver dollar, don't try to be a quarter. Be a silver dollar. That's what he requires. You call yourself something, he's going to say, okay, you want to call yourself a Christian? Then you live the full amount of life that I give you to live. Romans 9, verse 6. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Just because you are born in a message church and you go to message home, message church, whatever, that does not mean that you are elect. It's the ones who got the children of the promise. It's the one that God comes to you and reveals himself to you. Those are the elect. That's why it's got to be that individual. That's why so many people sit in message churches and they enjoy the preaching and they enjoy being a believer and they enjoy all the benefits that go with it and they're healed and they're delivered, but they're still the children of flesh, not the elect, not the children of promise. And that's why they can be deceived into thinking that they are. The children of the promise accounted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Abraham already had a son, Ishmael. How did Ishmael come along? By the attempts of the flesh to bring the promise to pass. That's what it was about. It was Sarah and Abraham's attempt. Well, God said, I'm going to be the father of nations. I'm going to have all these seeds. So let's go ahead and try it in our own, a different way. Because by this time, you know, we're pretty old. You say, well, but he believed it was Sarah. When God told Abraham that seed was coming through Sarah, what did Abraham do? He fell on his face before God and laughed and said, oh, that just used Ishmael. And yet God looked at him and said, he never stumbled at my promise. Can you imagine when that was written about Abraham, what that must have done to Satan? Because Satan had got Abraham to lie, to leave the promised land he was supposed to stay. He had tried to bring forth the promise through Ishmael. He had done all these things. And God said, I find no fault in him. Can you imagine me saying, stop! Look at all that he's done. Look at all this stuff he's done. And you say, you find no fault, he's righteous? How can you be righteous when he made all these mistakes? You know I'm talking about you, right? That's the same thing now. Look at all the mistakes you made. Look at all the things you've done wrong and all the things you're going to do next week. You're going to make so many mistakes. And God says, you're justified. You never did it in the first place. And Satan's losing his head over it. He said, this is crazy. This is crazy. This is not fair. I got him to do this. I got Phil to say that. He was thinking this. He went there. He did all this stuff. And you say he never did it. Do you identify yourself with that? Or are you still being bowed down? Yeah, but Phil, I make so many mistakes. I got this problem. I got that problem. Identify who you are. What seed are you of? Are you a child of the flesh, trying to live after the flesh, trying to perfect this flesh, trying to be the best person you can be? Are you a child of promise that no matter what happens, I know what God has revealed to me? I know who I am because he told me who I was. My daddy didn't tell me. My pastor didn't tell me. No one else told me. Jesus Christ told me who I am. He identified me. Why? By pointing me out in the scripture. Says, this is the word being made flesh in your life. Anything else is false. Anything else is bad seed. It's bringing forth corrupt fruit. Anytime you mix your own ability with the word of God, you're corrupting the fruit. Just being a message believer and just following the rules ain't going to put you in a rapture, friend. It's not going to do it. Let me read. This is from the Thyatira Church Age. I've been saying right along that there are actually two churches, though the Spirit speaks to both of them in each age as though there were but one. Here it is plainly stated that there are churches, and it states just as plainly that some of those churches most evidently do not know that he is the one who searches the reins and the hearts. He is going to prove to them that this is so. Now then, what churches will be those that do not know the truth? Of course, it is the false vine group, because the true believer certainly knows that judgment begins at the house of God. And they being God-fearing, judge themselves that they be not judged. We're going to stick on this for just a second. He says there's two churches. They both believe they're right. But the false church does not believe that judgment begins at the house of God. The true church does. And oh, they'll say they do. But what happens when the chastening comes, when the judgment comes? They show who they are. Isn't that amazing? So then, if we know that judgment begins here, what's our response to it? Because your response to it is a good indication of who you are. Let's read out of Hebrews 12, verse 5. You have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. You know how people despise it? I ain't going to listen to that kind of preaching. You know what I really find amazing? Is people who don't even claim to be message believers, as you know, born again, yet they will sit here and listen to what's preached, and other people who claim to be message believers won't. God has respect to that person who will respect what's coming across the pulpit, whether it hurts them or not, whether they like it or not. He has respect to Jesus Christ. Look how many people have left here or other churches because they couldn't handle it. They said, I don't like this, I don't like that. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. I don't like to be scourged. Well, it tells you that God loves you. The chastening means God loves you. When he has come to crumble you down, to crush you into powder, it's his love that's doing it. Do you recognize that? Or do you just want to protect this old flesh because you're indicating what seed you are? This is hard. We all say, Lisa, well, I love the chastening. No, you don't. If you love the chastening, you don't even be in chastening, because the Bible says it's grievous. And oh, I love it when it's grievous. Hit me harder, Daddy. You're not paddling me hard enough, Daddy. How many of you did that when you were 6 years old? Daddy, I haven't done anything wrong. Please spank me anyways. I just love it. Come on, quit being so carnal, friends. The chastening is grievous, and God knows how to push your buttons and say things that'll get you to defend yourself and get you to rise up and say, I don't like that, I don't like that. He says, okay, that's the way it's supposed to be. Now, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? Verse 7, if ye endure chastening, that's what you're going to do. I know you are, because you've done it. Look, you're still here. You're still enduring it, aren't you? Some of you are enduring it right now. You're thinking, goodness sakes, Phil, get done preaching. I'm ready to go. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? He's going to chasten you because that's what he does. Just like I said last time, whatever, he said, God knows how to raise you. He's training you to make good choices. He says, here's your free will. You have free will, but I'm going to train you how to use that because I got to give you your inheritance. I got to trust you with my word. I'm giving you thus saith the Lord, and I can't give that to someone who's going to use it on you, just on your own desires. You have to be subject to me. You have to be subject to the word. And that son says, I want that. I want that. I hate the chasing. It's grievous. But, you know, I'm willing to endure it because what does it do? It also goes on to say it produces a peaceable fruits of righteousness. And when you're living a righteous life, there's no more peace that you can have than you can look at your life and say, I'm living a righteous life. There's your peace, friend. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons? Wrong seed. He said, all are partakers. He'll chasten everybody. You want to come and sin this church, he'll chasten you to the extent that you need. If you don't take it, it shows who you are. If you won't receive it. Is that all right? The false refuse it because they don't want to die to this old flesh. I'm just getting to this. This is lean not to thine own understanding. The thing is occurring again till men and women and people will learn to lean to a certain church that they have joined and belong to, no matter what the Word of God says about it. They go right on with that, leaning to their own understanding and ignoring the Word of God as if it had never even been written. It's an ungermatized seed of human life. It's got the physical life, but no spiritual life in it to be quickened. The veil was over their face. They had a choice. They chose to cater to their own physical life. And there's nothing in there to be quickened. You can't quicken it. You cannot bring weed out of a weed. It can only bring forth what is in it. This is from the seventh seal. Brother Branham, a man comes up. He's a critic of Brother Branham. And he's really getting on his case. So let me read through this real quick. He said, well, I don't believe it. I don't care what you do. I said, certainly not. You can't. And when I read that, I thought, if there's anything that I would not want the prophet of God to tell me, is tell me you can't. You can't believe. What a sentence. There's nothing in you to believe with. Oh, friends, when you see that you can believe, we should be screaming grace because he gave you that seed to believe with. He said, smite me blind. Said, if you really got the Holy Ghost, like Paul said, smite me blind. I said, how can I do it when you're already blind? Your father has blinded you to the truth. I said, you are already blind. He said, I wouldn't believe it. I don't care what you could do, how much evidence you can prove or anything like that. I still don't believe it. I said, sure, certainly not. It wasn't for unbelievers. It was only for believers. That's it. It's only for believers. So friends, if you can believe the message, if you can see it expressing itself through you, recognize who you are. Recognize it. Claim it. Believe it. It's about you. What was it? See, you know right then, the election is off. Just don't fool with it at all. Jesus did the same thing. He said, let them alone. If the blind lead the blind, won't they all fall in the ditch? The election is off. It's just not there. Someone doesn't have something to believe with. And are you going to argue them into it? Are you going to prove it to them? What are you going to do? What are you going to do with this person who's resisting? He said, but when it came to a little prostitute, it struck fire. What was it? It was an elected seed laying there that's seen it right now. When it came to Peter, there was an elected seed laying there, and they saw it. All the Father hath given me, past tense, hath in the past. When did he give them to him? Before the foundation of the world, when you're in his mind. He said, these are my family. I'm going to be sure to get these saved. These are the ones I'm going to come to redeem. He said, past tense, given me, will come. They will come to me. Oh, my. I love that. Notice the believer does believe it. The unbeliever can't believe it. I know I'm hammering down. I'm going to hammer this more and more here in just a minute. I'm trying to get a point. Do you realize that if you can believe, only the elect can believe it? And it's not just something in your mind. It's something that anchors down here in your heart, and you can't get rid of it. You try to walk away, and you can't go, and you've gone, and you've come back, and you've done this, and you come back. Why? Because something keeps burning in your back. It ain't your ability. If it was your ability, Satan would take that and keep you 1,000 miles away, because when you come in here, you scare the fire out of him. What if God's going to deal with that person? What if God's going to deal with that soul? I thought I had that person. I had him so buried in unbelief for years, and now they come back. I can't believe this. Why? Because I don't care how much concrete you pour over that seed, it's going to come up. If it has to break through the concrete, has to crawl all the way out underneath it, it's going to come out because it has to. God will not lose a one. All the Father has given me will come. So now, if anybody wants to argue about the serpent seed and things and you try to show them, they won't listen to it. Argue some more. Prove your point. Tell them they're a horrible person. Drag them into church. Oh, that's not what the prophet said. That's what you hear from message believers. So-called. You try to show them, they won't listen to it. Just walk away. Just leave them alone, see? God don't argue, neither does his children. Except for me. I'm an exception to that. I get to argue. Identify yourself in the Word. See that picture? Two trees. One's got a great, that's up there. One's got great fruit. One's got good roots. Look at the other one. It's dead. You know why? It was born dead. Oh, my. You know why the churches are dead? They were born dead. They were born with mixed seed. Mixed seed is death. God winked at it. He accepted it down through the ages because they're doing all they can. But he don't accept that anymore. There's no excuse. There's no mercy for mixing seed. You can't be bride. I'm gonna go about 4 or 5 quotes here about the woman at the well. And I'm going to compare the woman at the well to the priest down at the temple. And I'm going to drill it down. Brother Branham did. I'm going to just take this. The Holy Spirit wants this to get so anchored that Satan can't talk you out of it. Notice, when Jesus came and manifested the Word, because the Word discerned the thoughts that was in the heart. Hebrews 4:12, that said that he would. The Word was a discerner of the thoughts of the heart. He came as the Son of Man, the prophet. What happened? This priest, with only intellectual learning, said, it's a devil. Because that's what his denomination called it. What did it do? He had no representation, so it blacked him out. He came from the false seed to begin with. He was a branch plugged into the true vine, trying to be, but because he came from the wrong branch, the wrong thing, it blacked him out, and he is plucked out of that vine, and he was withered, and he died. But this little woman had nothing to present. She was as filthy and dirty as she could be. Oh, I can identify with that. Notice, way down in her, she's got representation. And then she was looking for this to be made flesh. She was looking for it. She did not walk down to the well that morning and said, you know what, I expect to meet the Messiah today. I know there's going to be at least a prophet. I know there's going to be some. No, she was walking down to the well, so beat down. She was by herself. Her life had been thrown away. And yet there was something inside. Oh, that when the light flashed in it, it said, that's what I've been looking for. You know what I'm talking about. If it's happened to you, you've been going about your life. You went out there seeking God. I was just running with the devil as hard as I could, expecting to die and go to hell. But one day something flashed, and I said, that's what I've been looking for. Speak amen. Say if yes, you acknowledge that that's you. Recognize it. Claim it if that's you. Quit standing around. Well, if this is, well, maybe one day. It ain't going to happen to that kind of testimony. You either believe it or you don't believe it. Enough of this wishy-washy. Well, you know, if this is God, if God really did this, I'm not sure. You know, one day, get off the fence. Go be cold or go be hot. God has more respect for you that if you're not going to believe this, you turn and walk out of here and say, I will never go into that church again. I don't believe this. Brother Brown was a false prophet. He has more respect for that than some lukewarm, fence-riding message to believers who say, well, I believe it, but I'm going to take my own idea about it. That's his opinion. Look. He said, I just don't see it, Brother Phil. That's fine. That's okay. Then walk in that, say, I don't see it. Just be what God calls you to be. If you're not called to it, you can't make yourself bride, and he won't condemn you. But if you'll just show respect and just walk in what you see and be what God has called you to be, God will have respect to that. That's not popular among a lot of message preachers because they want to say either you're born again or you're going to hell, and you can't find that in the Bible. It's the lukewarm that God spews from his mouth. He ain't got time for you making sick. Either be in all the way or be what God has called you to be. She was looking for this to be made flesh. Why? Religion couldn't say. She was very religious. She started quoting the scripture and everything that the Samaritans believed. She was very religious. When he said, go get your husband to come here, she said, sir, I have none. He said, you've said the truth because you got five. The one you have is not yours. That you had five, that makes you had six. She said, sir, not your Beelzebub. I perceive you're a prophet. Now we know the Messiah, which is called Christ, will come when he does this. He'll do this. He said, I am he. No more doubt. Didn't have to explain it. She saw it. She believed it. Away she went. Why? What did it do to her? It redeemed her. She saw it. It wasn't a doctrine that was explained to her. She said, well, explain this to me now. How you can be sitting here, you're the Messiah. Please give me a three-part discussion. No, she just saw the word made flesh. That's what triggers the bride. That's what gets you when you see the word made flesh. That's what the light is. That's what you've been longing for. Anything else is just religion. Anything else is corrupt fruit. Now watch. He came to be a redeemer. Is that right? What does redeem mean? Bring back. Why didn't he get the priest? He never was up there. He had no representation. He was never in God's, in his mind back there when he had his family. He had his whole family, his family album. And he was thinking, oh, I'm going to express them. I can't wait because I want to have fellowship with them. I'm going to express I'm going to touch them. I'm going to become flesh too so we can fellowship. We can touch each other. We can have this wonderful time. That's what he wanted. But if you were not in there, he was never dreaming of having fellowship with you. I don't want to come apart. You were never in his thoughts to have fellowship with. But then he knew you're going to be here. He still knew you're going to be here. And he said, you know what? I'm still going to give you a chance. You can still be saved if you would just choose to live from the good, from the tree of knowledge, and do what you know to do. But you have no representation from that part of God's mind when he had his family there. So he can't redeem you. Redeem is to bring back. He can only save you. He came to redeem that which had fallen. In the fall, this got messed up with that girl. But God had her in his thinking before the foundation of the world. He came to cleanse her. She had eternal life. When did she get it? She got it when she was in God's mind before ever creation. That's when she had eternal life. She always had it. She just had to come so it could be expressed. Where the priest, what did it do to him? It sent him right back to his destination. He had nothing to begin with, only intellectual learning. His destination was, he came from hell. That's where he came from, that false seed. He was born in death. He goes back to death. Then Brother Branham says something that is just, when I remember reading this years ago, and it just, I'm glad he said it. He said, now listen, friend, if the only thing you've got is just intellectual learning, you get something different from that, and you'll never be able to get it unless you got representation. That cuts it to the quick. He said, you got to have more than that to be bride, to be elect, but unless you have representation, you can't get it. Don't lose. You say, well, about my family, they don't seem to be serving God, they're doing this and this. Friends, don't lose, don't give up on them, don't quit praying for them, don't say, well, they must be lost. No, friends, just live that life so they can see Christ manifest to you and see something real and have something that causes a stir, causes some kind of a thirst. It might not be from the soul, but there's still something real, and they can respect that, and they can be what God wants them to be, and they can be given life. This is just coming to my mind as I'm thinking. I'm convinced that most people in America who are going to be bride have been born again. I don't know if that's true. That's just coming. And what God is doing, he's saying, the rest of you can still be saved. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean you can't be saved. Don't go and sell out to the devil and just try to please this old flesh. Do what God calls you to do. I don't know how many people have to be born again. I don't believe the door is closed. Don't ever go out and say I said that. But friends, look around and say, especially as older people, as we're getting older, we look around and say, it looks this way, it looks that way. Don't even look at that. Just look what God is showing to you and recognize that those people around you who don't seem to be going on with God, it does not mean they're lost. Oh, if we can't have mercy for each other, how do we expect God to have mercy for us? If we can't have grace for someone else, then we want God to have grace for us. You'll never be able to get it unless you got representation. That's the reason I believe you come from the east and west, north and south. The Word living, made manifest. Why? Because you see the manifestation of the Word and it draws you to Him. That woman had a different nature in her soul as a seed waiting to be expressed. She wasn't born again there. The Holy Spirit hadn't even been given yet. The priest trying to serve God by religion, but not with revelation. Friends, the revelation is your identification. Has it been revealed? Has the truth been revealed to you? That's your identification. This tells you who you are. I'm running out of time, ain't I? Let me hurry up. Let's go with it. This is future home. He said, now here it was in this little woman. She was one of his attributes. There was a priest representing the light. He had chose to serve God. He had been in the right lineage. But he had no representation. He had learned it from the Bible. He had learned that God was God. He had learned that holiness was right. He had learned that there was a law of God. He had learned it because of an intellectual conception. He was born in the right lineage. He was a Levite, but he only knew it by intellectual conception. When the light of the hour, see, he learned it by what had happened, not what was happening. What had happened? What had happened? God brought Israel out of Egypt. God took him across the Red Sea. God fed him in the wilderness. God gave him the Ten Commandments. And he looked back. He said, that's what God did, and I believe that. Moses is our prophet. That's what they said to Jesus. Moses is our prophet. It's what had happened. And when he found out what was happening, Christ in flesh right before him, his denomination said nothing about it, therefore he had no representation of it. But here was the Redeemer on earth at that time to redeem those attributes of God, and she received it. Why do we sometimes we push back against that spirit that says, just listen to tapes? Why do we withstand that? Why do we resist that? Because what they're doing is saying, we are going by what has happened. They're not recognizing what is happening. The word that the prophet preached must happen today. If all you can do is look back, well, we had a prophet, and look at the mighty things he did. They're no different than saying to Jesus, Moses is our prophet. And they're saying to us today, Brother Branham is our prophet, or Joseph is our prophet. And they're not recognizing that God is speaking through his bride today. He has a ministry to get her ready for the rapture. And without that fivefold ministry, you can't help but be deceived. You must be deceived, because God's way of keeping you from it is with this fivefold ministry. I'm going to skip down a little bit, brothers, just to save time. This is a future home again. Now you say, well, look at this priest. Wasn't he a son of God? It proved he wasn't. He couldn't recognize what? Did he say, I believe the Bible? Sure. But he couldn't recognize the expressed word of the hour. He only had an intellectual learning from some group that had been back before. And it's the same thing today. See, I know that's strong, but it's the truth. There was the word exactly spoken for that day, and he yet was a scholar. He was a renowned person. He could not recognize it. Why? No matter how scholar he was, anything like that, he still didn't have representation of predestination. It didn't matter how much he knew the scrolls. He didn't know. He could quote the Old Testament word by word, but when the Old Testament was happening in front of him, he couldn't recognize it. He could not have had that revelation come to him because he wasn't predestinated to it. That's why you can preach and preach and preach, and there's some people, they'll pick up on it and they'll go right with it, and other people, they can sit there and they'll look at you and they'll even say amen. But it's just a letter, it's just a doctrine, it's just something they're learning. It kills you, because you see, if they're not getting it. But you don't condemn them. If they don't have that representation, they can't get it. Only the predestinated will only be the ones who does it. Only can be. You can only do it because look, it proves predestination. If you got eternal life, you had to be a part of God of all times, all the times, because he's the only one who's eternal. All right. I'm gonna shut this. I'm going to try to get this. I'm going to skip a little bit. Let me go to the unveiling of God. This is assuring. He said, even that little woman and all of her sin there at the well, she recognized him. She said, we know the Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. That's what he'll do. See, she recognized because she was a predestinated seed. Where the rest of them didn't recognize it, they had nothing to recognize with. They were in sin to begin with. They came from the wrong vine. They came with as a hybrid seed. They could never recognize the word for their day. Oh my. The Smyrna church age. The message, talking about the message, is then broadcast to all. But though it is broadcast to all who come within range of the message, that message is received individually by only a certain qualified group. Received individually. You don't receive this as a church, as a group, as a family. You receive it individually, and only if you are qualified. Each individual of that group is one who has the ability to hear what the Spirit is saying by way of the messenger. There's nothing random. Called you for it. He put you in a situation. You're qualified. You have that seed inside that can receive it. This is what was the Holy Ghost given for? He said, watch, that spirit will be just as pious, just as sanctimonious as it can be. We've seen that, friends, all over the place. Until it comes to the Holy Ghost, and they'll cut it off right there. That's that spirit. Can't you see it moving up, the Antichrist? Jesus said they'd be so close together in the last days they would deceive the very elected if possible. But remember, it's just the elected that will see it. God calls by election. Now let's look at some more of this and see if you can identify with this. Aren't you happy that you're one of them? Aren't you people here tonight knowing that something in your heart tugging? I want that Holy Spirit. I want you, Lord, in my heart. It wasn't you. It was something tugging you. That's because God put your name on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. He said that. No man can come to me, said Jesus, except my Father draw him first. And all that comes to me, I'll give them eternal life. Not all that say, Lord, Lord, will enter in, but those that do my will. He said, many will come in that day. Just because you come to the church, just because you try, just because you do this, friends, does not mean you're elect. But if you can recognize what God is doing in your life, that he's calling you, that he's doing this work, for friends. I got one more quote. This is trying to do God a service. Now, but God has his word set and has in all ages. His foreknowledge has caused him to set in the church and in the people certain things that he did from the beginning. And then the gospel that's being preached to that age is only revealed to that certain people. The rest of them don't see it. Thank thee, Father, thou hast hid these things from the eyes of the wise and prudent and revealed it to babes such as would learn. See, that's predestination. Not that he did it by you say, I'll choose you and don't choose you. By his foreknowledge, he knowed what you would do. He knowed what that woman at the well would do, because she had representation. He knew what the priest down at the temple would do, because he did not have representation. He did not have the seed. And this is all the way through all the scriptures I read, and we can go more. There's Paul talks about this, Romans verse chapter 9 through 11. It's just, Paul is just hammering on this election. Why is this so strong? Why did Brother Branham bring it so hard? Because without the revelation of this, you'll never get rapturing faith, because you'll always have doubt. Am I really that person? And the reason you have those doubts, because you're looking at the wrong thing. You're looking at the evidence of this flesh. Am I living good enough? Am I doing good enough? But Phil, if you saw all the things I did last week, and if you saw all the things Phil did last week, why did Brother Branham expose his faults and his mistakes and things he did so that we would not look at him as some superman that we could never attain to because he lived a perfect life? Brother Branham did not live a perfect life. There's one person who ever lived a perfect life, and nobody else has, and nobody else will. And as long as you keep looking at this flesh, you're living after the flesh. And he said that you can't live after the flesh and please the Spirit. You got to live by the Spirit. And the Spirit is that something inside you that keeps tugging you back. When you make those mistakes, it keeps bringing you back. When you say, I just don't even think I'll go back to church again, and here you are again. And you just get so discouraged. Tell me you don't get discouraged. I'd call you a liar if you say you don't, because we all get discouraged. I'm not going to call you a liar. But brother and sister, when Satan comes against you with that, take the word over your flesh. Take the word over the evidence Satan's pouring on you, because he has a mountain this high of all the mistakes you made and all the reasons why it can't be you, and yet something inside of you refuses to just quit and just walk away, because you tried that, I tried that, I tried to quit, and something drew you back. Why? Because you had fellowship in God's mind before the foundation of the world, and he said, I am going to have that fellowship with you in a body of flesh. And that's why you're here. That's what it's about, friends. God choosing his own bride. He gets to choose his own bride. You know, there's some cultures around the world over time, and then they said, you know, you don't get to choose who you marry. Mom and dad choose for you. Sometimes that might have been a good idea, some of the choices people have made. But no, I don't want someone to choose who I'm going to, you know, I do. If I was to get married, I want one person to choose that person, that wife for me. His name's Jesus Christ. It isn't Edward or Joe Bontrager or whoever else. I want him, that's the whole thing, is he gets to choose. Why would we take away that choice from him? He created it so he could have his own choice. And he chose you. Isn't that amazing? All right, let's stand.
Isn't he wonderful? My. To tell us, to show us who we are, to identify ourselves in the Word. And all he's saying, he said, now he's not going to come down and say, now Phil Bondre, I've chosen you, your bride. That's not how he identifies you. He preaches the Word. And then he shows, now this is you. I'm talking about you here. But that voice can be so small, such a still voice, such a small, and we just pass right over it because there was no thunder or lightning with it. I didn't feel anything when he spoke to me. And so we don't recognize it. I've done that so many times, friends, until I started, I'm looking for the wrong thing. I'm looking for this sensation or that. And the God said, would you just listen to me and act when I speak to you? When I tell you something, that's what makes you a believer. You believe that. But I didn't feel anything. Exactly. You're not come here to be a feeler. You're here to be a believer. And when the feelings come, they're wonderful. But don't ever rest your confidence on that. Be a believer. Amen. I'm going to say something. This, for me, was one of the hardest preaching I've ever done as far as trying to preach. I don't know if it's because Satan is pushing back so hard he didn't want me to preach, but I was struggling up here to preach. Well, usually I can come up here and it just flows. It didn't flow today, friend. It was like plowing with dead cows, dead oxen or whatever, pushing myself. The only thing I can think of is Satan so is pushing back. He doesn't want you to believe what was preached today. He doesn't want you to accept it that it's you. Because there is so much resistance in here this morning. I'm not blaming anybody. It's not on you. It's the devil. Well, if Satan is fighting so hard for you not to get it, spit in his eye and believe it anyways. I challenge you. Don't you believe what he's saying to you? Don't you believe all that condemnation? Don't you believe all the things he's putting on, that heavy burden? You feel a heavy burden? Yeah, I feel it. I want to believe it. That's just Satan burning you down. Just take what God said. Just believe it anyways. Will you do that? That's all he's asking for. That's all he's asking for. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful, Father, that you would get your word across, even though it seemed like it was just a heavy spirit in here. Satan seemed to be just pushing back, but you got it across anyway. You spoke your word, and Father, that word now can go into those hearts and can be received by those hearts that were ordained to receive it. Father, we know that we're fighting a great, great enemy. He's powerful, but Lord, he can never stand against the revealed word. He becomes helpless before it. So Lord, will you take that word that was preached, Lord, and reveal it to every heart that can receive it, Lord. And Father, let it have the effect. Let it bring forth good fruit. Don't let anyone walk out of here still with doubt or burdens or fear or wondering, but let the word have the effect that you want it to have on every person here, Lord. Lord Jesus, it seems like such a hard thing sometimes to preach that some people are elect and some people aren't and they can't be. And so many times people sit there, they hear these things, and they say, well, am I? Lord Jesus, give them the faith to walk in whatever they can walk in, Lord. Let it be revealed that this is what you've called them to. I can't say I believe everyone is going to be born again. I can't say that because I don't believe it. I'm not going to lie. But Lord Jesus, everyone can still be saved. Everyone, Lord, if they will just accept what you give them and walk in the life that you give them, Father, then you can give them life one day. Father, won't you do that, Father? And Father, Father, it's so serious. It's just so serious. We love our loved ones. We love everyone here, Lord. We love people who aren't here, Lord. We want to see them saved. And surely that's your heart within us, wanting to see as many saved as it can be. But yet there's choices to be made. We have to decide also, Lord. So give us the faith, Lord, to decide for the right thing. Won't you come and do that, Lord Jesus? Let's sing that little chorus, Isn't He Wonderful?